Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, and Dr. Paul Hall in Raising Expectations.
Hey, we want to welcome you, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's version of Raising Expectations. And we're coming to you from California, where we're in a heat wave and a blackout rollout. So if I disappear, it's because PG&E decided to cut the juice, but I don't think they're going to. We're ready to go for tonight. We run our program like a family, and as you know, our hosts are very, very special people. We talk about faith, freedom, family, finances, and fun, because we are a family. Our co-hosts that you're going to meet and hear from tonight, Dr. Paul Hall, Commander Rob, and Nancy Hansen. He's related to Bob Hansen, who was with us last week. But anyways, sorry on that. And Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. Stephanie is not with us tonight, but her husband, Dr. Thayer, who we call Tank, which is a great nickname, he's with us tonight. And so we're going to have a great time together. We have special guests that you're going to enjoy hearing from, literally, musically, and their story. Teddy Long, who is a country singer, a proud father of two boys, and a great songwriter. I got to talk to him yesterday. Wait till you hear from this fella. Also, Nick Rich, who's a tremendous drummer, a pastor, grandson of the greatest percussionist that's ever lived. Rob's going to tell you some about that. Buddy Rich. So without any further ado, now that you know all about us, we welcome you to Raising Expectations. And I'm going to punt this ball over and let Rob and Nancy introduce tonight Teddy Long. Very special part. They know him in a very wonderful way. And I got to talk to him yesterday. I can't wait for you to get to hear from him. Hey, Rob and Nancy, share a little bit and introduce Teddy for us, because we're anxious to see him.
You go ahead.
Well, I've known Teddy for quite a while. We're kind of close. And he's an excellent singer-songwriter from Austin, Texas. And he has a beautiful family. Wife and two sons, and he is, I'm very interested to have him tell us about a song that he wrote for a friend of his. It's called The Big Book, and how he wrote the reason he wrote the book, or The Big Book, and also I would like to know how he's dealing with being a musician during the COVID, where you can't actually go out and perform live, and how that's managing for him and his family, and just that. Okay, Teddy.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I guess let's go with the second question first about living in the time of COVID as a musician. That's something that I'm not. No one's used to that, right? It's a new thing. So being an entertainer, being in show business, and doing a job that you really can't do has been really pretty difficult, to be honest with you. I'm fortunate enough that I have a pretty amazing wife who kind of has kept this ship afloat. But without that, I mean, I know tons of people that are losing their homes and losing all kinds of things because they can't earn any money. And it's a very, very difficult time for anybody in this business. But I did on Friday, just this past Friday night, I was able to play my first show in 5 months, which was an incredible experience. I think it was done really well. It was socially distanced. It had, I didn't at any point feel uncomfortable. with anything. Everyone was wearing masks. And it was done, like I said, it was done really well. And I hope that that's the kind of the future that we're moving towards. But in order to like kind of supplement myself on the side with this, we've done some internet shows, this sort of streaming thing. I've done some private events this way. We call them happy hours. But I mean, ultimately I need to get back on the road. I think that's the key to this whole thing, you know? But I also want to know that it's going to be safe and I don't want to bring anything home to my family. You know what I mean? That, mm-hmm. I think those were my concerns, and I don't think I'm definitely not in this boat alone. I have so many of my friends, and especially in Austin, it's such a music town, and the community is so kind of intertwined with one another, and we're all sort of going through it. I think though it was a really like I said on Friday night, getting to play for some people that it used to be Austin was, you just kind of always take live music for granted because it's everywhere. But when you don't have it, people really appreciated it. And I think it was a little bit, it was therapeutic for me. I think it was therapeutic for other people too. And you know, I'd like to see that happen again soon. And then as far as the tune I'm going to play tonight, I wrote it, it's off my last record. And I wrote it for a good buddy of mine who, over like the last 10, 15 years had developed a really, really bad drug addiction, and hit it pretty well. I think a lot of people are able to do that, especially in his case. He was in a pretty high powered position and he made a lot of money. So it's able to like float the cause along a lot longer, I think. But ultimately it destroyed just about everything he had in his life. And I was able to reconnect with him a few summers ago, and he told me some stories about his life and about, you know, where he'd been the last 15 years. And they just kind of resonated with me. And I felt compelled to write the song, and I was talking with Joe last night about it. And there was this one story that he told me that really kind of stuck with me. And it kind of was a catalyst for the whole song. And we were talking about how he's been working the steps and he does the program, and very much of his routine is based on the big book, which is, the anonymous book written by Bill W. for AA people. And his daughter, who's a 9-year-old, wrote this, this book report on her favorite musician. It was Elvis. And she summed up the entire book report with this like, amazing little snippet. She said that maybe if Elvis had the big book, like my dad, he'd still be here today. And she was 9, and that just kind of blew my mind. I was like, the idea that a 9-year-old could have that kind of insight into the power of words, it was incredible. And then that's kind of what that's what spurred the song. And I'm happy to report at this point, he's got 3 or 4 years in now of sobriety. And he's been able to stay the course, and his Man. Life is back on track, and he owes it all to the book and to faith and prayer and, you know, just a lot of hard work and determination, I think, ultimately, and a good family.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Tell us about your family, Teddy, too.
So I have I have a wife, Natalie, who's we've been together, 16 years. I think we've been married for almost 10. We'll be 10 this coming next month, I guess. 10 years. Wow. she's a wonderful mother. She's an exceptionally supportive wife, and she's an assistant principal here in Austin, and they're trying to get schools up and running and trying to figure that whole thing out, and they're virtual for the first month or so of school, and then they're going to transition into like live, you know, in-person education, at least at this point. But it's not an easy job right now. I mean, none of this is easy for anybody, but especially, you've got parents who want to send their kids back to school, and we all want that to happen, but it needs to be done safely, and it needs to be done in an environment that can be, they can provide that safety. And I think at this point, at least in their position, it's not possible. So she's trying to help run that and make that happen. And then we have two little boys, Waylon, who's my oldest, he's 5. And then we have a little boy named Oliver, who's a year and a half. And he's a handful right now, for sure.
Kids are great. Right.
But that little one, man, you forget what it's like when you get down the road. And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember this face. But yeah, I got a wonderful family. You know, I'm very fortunate for that, for sure.
Amen.
Hey, Teddy, this is Rob. I was always interested in when you started music, what gave you that bug? How young were you? How did you develop what inspired you? What got you motivated to go into music for your life's work?
Sure. So my stepfather is a musician still and has been for a really long time. He played in a pretty kind of nationally known band called the 10,000 Maniacs a long time ago. And that sort of that idea of being a musician was just in my house. You know, I started playing saxophone because that's what he did. And, you know, he taught me some piano, and then eventually I wanted to play guitar. And he bought me my first guitar, and like, it was kind of just the idea that a person, and he would always gig, like on the weekends, he was always gigging. And so that to me, that was just like normal. It was normal. You know, it was a thing that you can do, either for extra money or for fun, or, you know, a couple of beers, you know, whatever you want to do. So when I got done with college, and I'd always played in bands when I was a kid, I think I was 12 or 13, I had a band. I've always had a band, you know. And when I got done with college, my wife and I, we weren't married at the time, but she had a degree in Spanish, and I had a degree in psychology, which I was never going to use. And so it was just kind of a matter of wanting to go someplace where there's music being made, and it's a place where you can do it, you know, like full time. And so we packed up and moved to Austin, Texas. We'd never been here before, but I knew this is where I wanted to be. And that was like 15 years ago.
Man,
so yeah.
What's the biggest thing you miss in sharing your music with people?
Oh man, there's all kinds of things. I think just being an entertainer person, like just interacting with people, I think is a huge thing. I miss the windshield time with the band, you know. I miss like hanging with guys at crappy gas stations. I just miss talking to people, you know, like random strangers that are, it took me a long time to figure this one thing out. For a long time, I was always like, it's about me and I want to do this and I want to do that, but really it's about them. And it's about people maybe only having one night out every once in a while, and they chose to come see you. So you better give them something that makes them feel good. And I miss that. I miss that interaction with people like afterwards, like coming up and wanting to buy my stuff because they just heard a song that I wrote, or I played a cover tune that they're like, that was our wedding song, or, you know, like little interactions like that to me is one of the most magical things about this career choice. And then also just like getting to be creative and getting to like record and be around other people that are doing, have the same idea. You know, mm-hmm. it's one thing to like to do these kind of things, right, with my buddies, and we can talk about stuff, but it's not the same as like being in the room together. It's not the same as like making something that wasn't there before, you know? So I definitely miss that kind of that stuff about it, but I think we'll get back to it. I've been this time has really given me a whole lot of opportunities to write. And I got a whole slew of new tunes. There's a new record that I want to record at some point in time when the funding can get there, you know, when we can get back out and work again. Cause making a record is not cheap. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I miss for sure. Yeah.
Great.
I could tell.
Yeah.
Anybody else? You have the heart. So, you know, a connection with people.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Are you ready to sing your
book
for us?
Yeah. I'd love to. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We don't know the words, so we can't really sing along. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I can move my lips, but
I'm on the last
English subtitles or something.
Okay. I don't have any flashcards I can hold up. I'm sorry. Said I got 7 months and a couple of days, clean, sober living, and the bills are paid. Kids are doing good, finally coming around. Although I could have had a year, but it happened again. Wheels fall off, and I finally gave in. With myself one last time. I regret that day. Now I feel okay. Put it behind. Cause the bang bull brought me back. Thank the Lord for that. Yeah, bang, boom. Need to change with the times. Same old world since 39. I spend too much time behind bars, motel living, and wrecking cars. Lost a job most men would kill to have. Bank took the house and my wife went too. Them poor kids been in and out of school. No one to blame for all the damage I've done. But I changed my way. I learn it day by day. Keeps you moving on. Cause a bang bull brought me back. Thank the Lord for that. In a bang bull brought me back. Thank the Lord for that. Looking at stars in the sea tonight. Brand new skin and pale moonlight. Heavy old heart still pumping on. Doesn't get easier the farther I go. Just my tools got better for saying no. This demon craves never go away. With my head held high, big book by my side. Give on in. Bang, boom, brought me back. Thank the Lord for that. Yeah, bang, boom, me another shot, a fresh pair of eyes. See all I got. Said I got 7 months and a couple of days. Clean, sober living, bills paid. Kids are doing good. I'm coming around.
Good job. Great song. Great song.
Very cool.
Great song. Great message. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it was. I told you last night. I said that Hank Williams Sr. had said, if a song can't be written in 10 minutes, it'd be worth writing. And that song happened in 10 minutes. And so
there you go. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Great message. Great heart. Could tell Keller came from your heart. Absolutely. You. Absolutely. Paul, you got any question all the way from Illinois? You're a musician. Paul plays piano, guitar, sings. Wow. You like him. Dr. Hall down there. Made it.
Pretty scary. Thanks, Joe. Pretty scary. Yeah, I appreciate what you had to say, Teddy. That was great. You know, a musician's life is it takes determination and guts and faith and perseverance, you know, to do that. My son came to me. He's 47. When he was in junior high, he said, "Dad, I want to be a musician and I want to play the guitar. I want to be a musician." Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm 125% behind you. Just realize that everyday world-class musicians are starving to death. Yes, you know, it's absolutely true. Let me ask you just a real quick question, and this might kind of seem odd, but do you think as a songwriter, do you find the song or does it seem to find you? Does that make sense? Is that a good question?
Yeah. No, I understand the question. I used to wait around, right, for inspiration, but I don't do that anymore. I tend to, like, I carry my phone right here, holds everything on a notepad. Like, I'll hear something or I'll write it down. And I had to get in the habit of that, you know, because things, you think you're going to remember something, but you don't. You're like, you hear somebody say something and you're like, oh, that is a great line, or I'm going to remember that. How did it? And then it's gone. Right. So in my phone, I keep all kinds of things. I keep my voice recorder. I'll like hum some melodies to it. It used to be a long time ago. I would call my buddies when you'd have like old phones, and I would call my friends and I'd be like, I don't hang up. I got to leave a voicemail. I got this idea or hang up. I'm going to call back and leave a voicemail and then send it to me. You know what I mean? So I could like remember that's I might have dated myself there at this point, but that's how long I've been writing songs for. But at this point, I try to like pick something that I want to say, and I'll have an idea about it, and I'll have a character. I'm really into this like narrative songwriting where you develop a character, and maybe you develop him over a couple of songs, you know, like his life grows as I grow maybe, right. So the idea, that concept of that is very Springsteen-y sort of stuff. And that's kind of become my newest like focus. So in that respect, it goes both ways. Got you it. Know? Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Does the music come first and then the lyrics, or do you have lyrics in your head and then music follows that, or how does that work?
So it's similar to what I'll have like an idea. I'll have a line, or I'll have something, and then I'll write the music at least, or I'll have a start. And typically nowadays, what starts out as the song, it's not what it is in the end. It evolves. There's rewrites now. Like, I never used to do this stuff, but as I've gotten better at the craft and I've gotten better at figuring it out, every song needs a rewrite. So it'll start with a line or something. I'll have a line or a hook or a melody. and then it'll, then I'll do the music, and then the rest of it'll form around it, you know, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah. Fantastic. Hey, well, yeah. Teddy, listen, we appreciate, boy, your music and your ministry, and we're going to be talking and putting on our site your album and a little bit about you, and maybe you can hang with us a bit here, huh, Rob?
Sure, I'm going to hang for a little bit. Yeah. It's bedtime at my house, and so it tends to get a little – so if I have to skip out, I apologize.
Oh, that's –
Also, Nancy is modeling the latest in Teddy Long T-shirt wear.
Oh, there it is.
The listeners might want to find out how to order that or where to go for that.
Exactly, yeah.
You can go to Instagram, teddylongmusic.com. That's actually a vintage T-shirt now. We don't have those anymore. And right now we're pretty light on our inventory, but I got a lot of CDs for sale.
And if you want that, vintage one, it's worth a lot, Nancy. Rob, so hold on to that one.
You know, that it's the one she's wearing. That T-shirt sold so well for me. And when my buddy who does all my shirts, he's like, hey, man, let's put one with your face on it. And I was like, you're insane. No one is going to buy that. And that shirt sold better than anything I've ever made before. So I don't know. We might go back to something like that.
There you go. Well, we've been blessed. We've been blessed to have you with us, Teddy. We really have. We're going to be following you, and we're going to get to know you a lot better in the months and years to come. We'll be part of your team watching you, because we all appreciate you very much. So you can hang with us a little. Rob, Nancy, tell us a little bit about Rob, probably about Nick Rich, and we're excited to meet him too. And Teddy, God bless you. You're in our prayers, buddy. God bless.
Yeah. And for Teddy, one more thing. Nothing that Dr. Joe says means that we are going to be stalking you, okay? I just want to be clear about that, because it sort of sounds like that. The stain, the police, you know, I'll be watching. Anyway, over to Nick. I want to, first of all, thank you, Nick, so much for taking the time out. I know you've got a full load with four boys and work and teaching and everything else. And for those that don't know, Nick Rich is the grandson of the greatest drummer who ever drew breath, Buddy Rich. And I was very, very fortunate and blessed to have seen him dozens of times live when I was growing up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Buddy Rich actually came several times to our town and played in our high school auditoriums. We had two at the time, and I wouldn't miss that for the world. I saw him in Chicago. I'd see him in Milwaukee, which, you know, was an hour away, 45 minutes away, and Kenosha as well. With that as a background, what I found really interesting, and I know Buddy's daughter Kathy is your mom, and we want to I want you to talk a lot about the life, because I think you and your family's probably been in the spotlight for as long as you can remember, which has its good points and maybe some not so good points. I'll just turn over to you, Nick, and let you go to talk about your life, what it's like being in a famous family, being a musician, and your life to date, and anything else you want to bring up. Thanks again so much. And by the way, the T-shirt I'm wearing, I got from Nick Rich. He is also a pastor, and this is it's a symbol, and it's basically based on Romans chapter 8, verse 13, where we talk about living the earthly life in our flesh, we must die. This is a die to the flesh T-shirt, and through the Spirit of the Lord, that's how we live. And again, Nick, feel free to elaborate more on that as you like it. First of all, I'm seeing a phone muted for Nick, and I'm wondering.
All right, can you hear me?
There you are.
All right. Hey, guys, it's a pleasure. Pleasure to be on here, and I just thank you all for including me, especially Rob. Thanks for reaching out, man. I appreciate it. Growing up it does date back all the way to, you know, 1919, when my grandfather was actually performing, and throughout all of his illustrious career. Then we go into when my mother was born, and And when Buddy actually passed away, my mom carried on the legacy of his name through multiple memorial scholarship concerts and just touring the band around the world with different drummers and whatnot. And it's just a beautiful thing that my family has, which is this carrying of the torch. Now, for me, when I started playing drums at 18 months old, I'm 35. For me, it was always something that my mom tried to steer me clear from, like, oh, why don't you be a rocket scientist or something along. It's like, but there was just this hunger and desire inside of me to always play drums and to be. I also play guitar and piano and I'm a songwriter and a producer as well. So. So yeah, I've just been I've played all over the world. I've had the amazing opportunities to play with the greatest musicians in the world, and I mean that's something that I constantly reflect on, and I'm truly grateful for. As for I was a worship pastor for 4.5 years, but I no longer am doing that currently at the moment. There was some, it's a nice way to say this. There were some hard theological stances that they were taking that I just couldn't stand by. So I split apart from that church after much prayer and outreach to other pastors and whatnot. But I still have this, I have this heart to continue to write music and, you know, not necessarily songs for the church, but songs that have all a faith-centered meaning, because that's just my life. I struggled kind of like your friend. I struggled with drugs and alcohol for a long time. And that's something that being in this lifestyle, that's one of the hardest things. That's one of the hardest things, temptations of any kind. I mean, you have them all coming at you in every different way, be it drugs, alcohol, women, money, all of these things that we're constantly warned about in the Word of God. So yeah, I feel like I'm in a place right now in my life where, able to stand those temptations. I'm able to go out there and be a positive role model rather than, you know, just the typical. It's way more rebellious to be a follower of Christ than it is to just be like every other musician getting hammered. And I mean, that's not true rebellion. True rebellion is being separate from the world, being in the world, yet not being of the world. So, so that's something that's how I started my clothing company, Died in the Flesh. It was just something that it represented everything. I mean, I wrote an album. It's on iTunes. You can go to Died in the Flesh. It's me singing and I did all the production and everything like that. But man, God just threw these songs at me. It was kind of like every song was written in 10 minutes. I'm the same kind of way. Like, If I haven't written a song in, you know, 10-20 minutes, it's
throw it out.
I'm on to the next one. I'm serious, I'm on to a different idea. I mean, I'm producing my oldest son, who's 14 right now, and he is just an amazing rapper and singer. So I'm producing him. That's what we've been doing for the majority of the COVID epidemic, is we have been in-house producing, recording, getting him sufficient management, and he's taken off. His last video on Instagram got like 17,000 views. So yeah, it's kind of cool to invest in my son's life, in his musical career, instead of being so focused on me and what am I gonna do and this and that. I get to kind of pour it into him and not only spend great time with him, but also to teach him everything that I've learned being in the music business. So, yeah, I mean, this epidemic has been brutal. I mean, drummers, musicians have really, really had to be creative. And especially if that's your income, you really have to be creative. From, you know, I'm doing drum lessons online. I'm selling merch. I'm writing songs for people. I'm doing whatever I can do, because I'm not the kind of guy that can just stand still. I've absolutely got to keep moving musically in any way, shape, and form. So there's some cool things potentially coming up after, you know, once the live shows are coming back that I will get involved in. But as for right now, I'm kind of enjoying the solitude. I'm learning a lot about myself, and I love it. I'm not in a negative mindset in any way, shape, or form. I'm in a mindset where I look at it as God's given me personally this time to focus on really the next level in my life. And, you know, I feel so bad for all the people that have lost their lives, you know, loved ones of people who've lost their lives. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's so sad. But there's always a way to turn a negative into a positive. So I'm just trying to do that right now.
It's great.
I think that's wonderful, Nick. I think I know that you have, well, your godfather, of course, the great Neil Peart, the drummer for Rush, who had sadly passed away year. That was a terrible blow.
That was heavy.
Yeah, because I remember, and I had the two Burning for Buddy CDs that he and Kathy had produced. They were magnificent. Yep.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
And I just, you know, I keep wondering if there might be a Burning for Buddy, the third CD someday, and have you on one of the songs as well.
You know, I'll be on it. I'll push my way through there.
There you go. That's what it should be. Now we have to find the right producer. Wait a minute. You're a producer.
Exactly. And yeah. And the coolest thing, too, I forgot to mention, is that I believe it's the Time Check album, Buddy's album, that just came out. It's in consideration for a Grammy. And I was one of the producers on that as well. So that's so cool. I just love doing it. Not only is he my grandfather, and do I have so much of his character, and my mom tells me all the time, but to just give back to him and to play a role in anything I can for his legacy is a blessing.
Yeah, I think one thing for all the guys here, and I'm a recovering former long time ago, percussion drummer, and that was my background, but I sort of walked away from it to do other things.
Sure.
One thing everybody needs to know is that a drummer and Buddy, and I'm sure Nick is the same way, they're musicians first. And one of the most important things for a drummer to do is to listen to whatever group they're playing with, so that they're not, you know, playing some ridiculous rhythm beat solo that just music. So it's really,
absolutely,
a drummer isn't necessarily a guy that just keeps the beat, like, you know, Ringo back in the day. Actually, for what he did fairly well. But a drummer is a real drummer, and I'm talking a serious one who studies it, who studies the greats, like the old guys back in your grandfather's day, where he had every possible, and not just Gene Krupa, but Joe Jones and the Catlett, and of course Chick Webb, and later on, obviously, your dad influenced the guys like Billy Cobham, Dave Weckl, and you actually had lessons with Weckl too, haven't you?
Yeah, I studied with Dave Weckl when I was 17, and this is just remarkable in my eyes. I took a 3-hour lesson with him. I went over to his house. I mean, I've known Dave my whole life. I went over to his house and we did a 3-hour drum lesson. And I left there radically changed. He showed, now, mind you, it took years to be able to implement these things, but he radically changed my approach to even how I set the kid up, to letting the stick do the work for you, to just kind of that molar technique. Yeah. And that's something that my grandfather had, but didn't even, he didn't have a name for it, because that's just how he naturally played.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I also studied with Travis Barker for 2 years when I was 15, 16 years old. And yeah, I mean, he was like my drumming idol at the time. The cool thing is that through my life and through all of these experiences and people that we know, I've had such an amazing, like, I'm able to take drum lessons from anybody I reach out to. Like, I'm going to start to study with Tommy Igoe for a little while.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah. And, you know, I really love jazz music, and I've never really been properly taught how to play jazz. And it's always something that's inspired me, because it's a completely different way of playing. And, authentically, it's a completely different way of playing. So yeah.
We've reached the level of Mecca with drumsticks. I can tell you guys are really knowing. Does any of the guys have a question there? This is exciting, Rob, to hear all these guys. Anybody have a question, maybe from what Nick's been sharing about his life? Or we may not know the drummers, but we can sure feel the heart and the enthusiasm. We know what's in there. Yeah.
Anybody have a question? Nick for years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rob knows.
Go ahead. Craig.
I have a question, Nick.
Yeah.
You know, I have a 12 and 14 year old. Both my 12 year old's learning the guitar, and they both play the piano. The other one's a trumpet player. So, but the question is, I guess it's somewhat of a fame and Christian question. How do you personally keep your head out of this world when the world idolizes you? It's so easy for fame to just, you can be just, you know, swollen up and enveloped in that, and then forget the real things. How do you deal with that?
That's a great question. I mean, I think that's, you know, there are Christians who are maybe not in the genre of, you know, contemporary Christian music. Who, Alice Cooper is a Christian. And you would never know that. You know who Alice Cooper is?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he's a Christian, and you have to navigate the waters very carefully, and I have to bring someone. I like to bring someone with me, just as a companion, or somebody I can talk to, or somebody who, it's usually a drum tech of some sort, but yes, definitely has to be on the same page with me, just so I can separate myself if things get weird. And I don't think there really is an answer to that question. It's, everybody is different. I mean, I've made mistakes as a Christian on the road, and I mean, I've learned. God has used those in my life to help me navigate the next set of waters.
That's right. And
so I'm grateful for my relationship with Jesus, because I probably wouldn't be alive today, and now my whole kind of mission in life is completely different. So,
amen. Paul, do you got a question?
Yeah, thank you.
Nick, this is Paul. I have a question for you. As a pastor, I kind of, my ears perked up, you know, when I heard that at some point in life there was kind of a collision of theological ideas and things like
there
that.
There were.
I'm curious because I know that there are so many broken, hurting people who've had bad experiences in the traditional church setting.
Yeah.
I'd like to kind of dig in your heart a little bit. When that happened to you, was there a period where you withdrew from the church? Did you feel anger? I mean, how did you process through that to come out where you are today?
That's a great question. I mean, this happened like a year and a half ago. So I think I'm coming out of the other end of it now. It was just the biggest problem that I had in the whole situation was that what was being preached from the pulpit was not being demonstrated in any way, shape, or form. And there was a lot of fear from the, it was a small town. It was a town of 5,000 in Ogallala, Nebraska.
Okay.
And a guy like me who looks like me, usually don't hang around those parts, you know? So everybody got to know me, you know. I think they threw me into leadership a little bit early in my walk. I'm the type of person, I mean, I have tattooed right here, truth at all costs, which is half of Martin Luther's truth, peace if possible, truth at all costs. And to me, that's something that I stand by heavily because, I mean, when you look at all the reformers and you look at all of these all of these great men and women of God who were burned on the stake singing psalms, I have strong affections for those type of people because they're staying. If this is what we say we truly believe and this is who we say we are, how can we not stand up for things that are non-negotiable in the Christian faith? So I joined another church. I became a member of another church because I left Nebraska. Now I'm in Illinois. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of another church, really good church. But I just got burnt out on the leadership aspect of it because I don't think that my soul wasn't being cared for, you know, by the head pastoral staff, and it was like. I was a lone ranger kind of figuring out I went to Masters University for 2 years and that helped a lot. But yeah, I mean, would I be up for it again? Yeah, of course I would down the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, singing God's word to the people of God is one of the greatest things I've ever done. And there's no feeling like that. There's no absolute surrender like that. So, you never know what the future can hold.
Yeah.
Someone once told me that you really can't minister until you've been ministered to.
Yes.
So I think guys, you and Teddy have a beautiful platform that just communicates to thousands of people. That's awesome.
That's right.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I love mm-hmm. to be, I mean, I think the world right now has this very delusioned idea of what a Christian is and this, you know, completely alt-right views and all Christians hate people. And that is so not what Christianity is. It's so not what the word of God teaches us about himself. And I want to be able to get that across more, you know, that it's not what people think at all. It's the mm-hmm. opposite, but
it's great to know that God loves us. He says in Romans, and yet And yet while we were still sinners, what did he do? He thought about it, threw a few dice in the air, flipped a few coins and decided whether, right? Huh? No.
Yeah,
he said he sent his son to die for us. And we can tell because you and Teddy, you've got a heart, you've got music, you've got caring inside of you. And you know what? It's just like he said in Jeremiah, he's just molding you. What is it, Paul? Jeremiah 17, 18. He's molding the vase that's got your name, and he's going to keep filling it, and that vase gets bigger and bigger. I've just been blessed hearing from you. I know all of us have. I'm playing beat the clock again here. I'm looking.
It's boy, okay. Rob,
guys, I just don't like this clock at all, but I have to do it. But, you we are on a great station. You tell your friends, BBS Radio Worldwide, they're just the best, run by two great men. They love people. They love God. BBSradio.com is fantastic. And you ever do anything, you check with them. And if you're listening in tonight, folks, you need to follow these young men. And you need to pray for them. You need to get behind you, right?
Yeah,
I got 2 minutes. Give me something.
I got 2 minutes worth of material for you. No, I'm just saying if anybody who's listening wants to, you know, look into what I'm doing more, I have an Instagram page. It's at Nick Rich Drums. And obviously I'm on Facebook. I think it's just search up Nick Rich. I pop up, but, I really enjoy doing things like this. And I really hope that we can continue, that you can continue to have me around.
Absolutely. Are you kidding?
Absolutely. We got brothers here.
We may have to drag your mom on next, right?
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
Teddy, you got the last word for us, Teddy?
Not just thanks so much for having me. This has been wonderful. I really enjoyed it. It's been nice chatting with you all. And keep doing the good work out there.
That's it.
Great song.
I'd like to have Teddy back too.
Yes.
That's right. So take down those addresses. Check with our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And you can find out more information about these two great young men and their love for music and for God. And they care about you. And hey, just thought about this real quick. I'll give 15 seconds. If you see the button that says donate and you like what's going on here on Raising Expectations, we would be immensely blessed if you take your right hand and pop that down. Send whatever you can. It's a tough time. But if you can donate a little bit, it helps us with our costs on BBS Radio. We'll thank God for you. And we may not know who you are. Actually, we will. We'll be praying for you. We got a lot of stuff we'll be sharing with you later on. But in the meantime, thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for being a part of Raising Expectations. It's you that makes it possible. We want to hear from you. Go to our website, write in, answer, tell the guys what you think. Just be supportive of what's going on. And we pray God's richest blessing. We pray the peace that passes understanding of John 14:27. And Paul, we're glad you made it from Illinois. We were worried, but you made it.
You did it.
All
right. Yeah. Let's give these guys a hand. That's right. Let's give a hand. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you,
Teddy. Thank you. Thank you, Nick.
Oh, Chad.
Yeah. Awesome job, everybody.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Great. We'll see you next Monday night. Raising Expectation, bbsradio.com. Look us up. We'll see you next week.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.